jumping right in. The last few weeks, we've been in this series called Risen, the Risen series. Risen begins now because it happened long before this day. We just remember the day today and celebrate it. But so we follow Jesus through his life of purpose, his love poured out on the cross. But today we celebrate the moment that changed everything, which is his victory. Resurrection isn't just a moment in history, but it's the power that transforms our present and calls us into the future. It's something that changes us. So this isn't just about an empty tomb. It's about having a full life. His resurrection wasn't just for then, but it's for now. And Jesus didn't just rise from death. He rose that you and I could live. So if you remember one thing, let it be this. Jesus didn't just rise from death. He rose to give us life. And his resurrection was not the end of his mission. It was the beginning of our victory. Amen?
Oh, yeah.
So if the resurrection gives us life today, if that's something that we're proclaiming, if that's something that we believe, that it's the resurrection that gives us victory, gives us life today, then we've got to start with, is it real? Is it true? And I'd like to take you through some verses and just consider that subject, that it's absolutely real. If we're basing the fact that it brings us life and sets me free from various addictions, sets me free from trouble and issues and brokenness of my traumatic past or traumatic events of my past, then it's got to be something that we consider of reality. Let's start there, that the resurrection was real. Now consider this. This is what I would call a pivot moment. One of those moments that it considers us to look at something just a little different. And in Matthew 28, verses 1 through 11 or 1 through 10, I'd like to read that. If you can, it's probably up here on the screen so you can read along with me. And it goes like this. This is a human moment. It really is. I want to say this real quick. This is a moment where humanity and human nature reacts to trauma, reacts to an event, has a reaction to these things. And where divinity in that moment of our humanness, see, every one of us in the room, we're human. We suffer, we struggle, we get angry, we get frustrated, we fall into temptation. We have these moments. But remember this, the thing about trauma, the thing about brokenness, the thing about difficulty in our lives, pain, it has one source of power, and really that's remembering. If you want to get out of trauma, and if you want to break a cycle of brokenness, then you've got to move from just remembering what happened into remembering the fact that he's risen. We've got to change, moving from a different, we got to pivot from a natural perspective to a spiritual perspective. Okay, now I'll read. Now after the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the grave. I wonder how the other Mary felt about that. Hey, that's the other Mary, right? And behold, a severe earthquake had occurred. For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone and then sat upon it. That's a boss move right there, really. Rolled away the stone and then just chilling on top of it, right? Like he runs the show. And his appearance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. The guards shook for fear of him, and get this, and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "These guys are no good, so let's have a conversation. Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who has been crucified." Pause there. Don't be afraid. I know that you're here looking for Jesus who has been crucified. They just encountered a significant event. They just were traumatized by the significant, gruesome crucifixion of Christ. So naturally, they're coming back to this place where they expect Jesus to be. And the angel is saying, I know why you're here. You're coming back to remember what took place. Could it be sometimes for us, we stay stuck because we're only looking for Jesus in the place that we last saw him? Could it be that we often stay stuck because we're just considering and we're looking for a crucified Jesus? And if we read on right here, we see that the angel, he pivots their thinking. And he says this, he's not here, for he is risen. Just as he said, then he says, come and see the place where he was lying. I know that you need to finish this cycle of your thought. I know that you need to follow through. And I think it's important that you go and see that he's no longer there, because something changed since last night. Something has altered and been changed. But I know you're here to see the crucified Christ. So go ahead and finish that thought. Go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I've told you. Verse 8. Then they left the tomb quickly, full of fear and great joy, and ran to report to his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them there and greeted them. And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and take word to my brethren to leave for Galilee, and there they will see me. So I love this because it's such a human moment. I love this because there's a clear reaction. They were traumatized. They had some trouble as a result of what they experienced the night before, and this whole thing transpired. But right there, that's the only thing trauma could ever do is remember. That's its power. Consider when we're lonely and we're upset and we're afraid, broken, angry, whatever it is, what do? You're sitting there stewing over either what you did that wasn't appropriate or what you did that you wish you didn't do any longer, whatever it is. You just remember and you stay stuck in that cycle. See, he's risen. Jesus brought victory to remove us from that cycle and invite us into a supernatural perspective of his victory, his risenness. Jesus didn't metaphorically rise. He physically rose, defeating death and validating everything that he said. Consider this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 6, it says this. After he appeared, this is Paul speaking now. After he appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time, then he goes on to say, most of whom remain until now, but some have fallen asleep. See, Jesus didn't just rise in secret. It wasn't this sneak out of the tomb kind of moment. Hide in the shadows and whisper to a few friends, I made it. I'm out. I broke out. I'm free. It wasn't like that whatsoever. No, he showed up again and again and again in gardens, on the road, in homes, inside of locked rooms. Jesus, in his resurrected state, showed up in all of these different places and then appeared to more than 500 people at one time, Paul said. At one time. That's no coincidence. That's a movement kind of moment. You know what I mean? It's a tipping point kind of moment. It's a divine strategy. It's a viral moment. You know, if we see 500 people at one time and we have an opportunity to see or witness that kind of crowd, it's not unusual to us. I would imagine today, it's not uncommon for some churches in the valley, quite a few actually, to have an attendance well over 500. It's not uncommon. But consider back in that day, 500 people at one time seeing the supernatural reality of a resurrected Christ created a viral moment that spread and changed and impacted a culture that created an absolute movement. See, if 500 people see it, you all know how the legal system works. A witness who watched somebody perform an action, it makes it really relevant. Then have 500 people see that, say that, it makes it true. The resurrection was real. Jesus appeared to more than 500 people at once. What kind of people? Ordinary, doubting people who were troubled by what they saw. Most of them are still alive, Paul said. In other words, go ask them. A lot of these people are still living today. They're right here in our community. 500 people, go check it out. Go ask the question yourself. Go find out if what they're saying is true. Go listen to their stories. The resurrection is real. That's how resurrection turned from a moment into a movement. See, and also considering that it's real, it wasn't just real now, moving along. It was a revolution. It changed things. It was a pivot. It was radical. You've got people that followed Jesus for several years, and then he died. It was traumatic, and then all of a sudden, he's alive, and he's visiting. There's this reality of what does that cause for us? What does that invite us to? The empty tomb wasn't just a sign that Jesus got out. It was a signal that death had been defeated. It wasn't just survival, per se, but it was supremacy. See, this thought, it's becoming elevated of what is the resurrection? What does it cause? How does it affect you and I? Changes things. He didn't just rise to prove a point. He rose to win a war. Taking it a bit deeper, consider this. The resurrection, point two, was victorious. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting at 54, it says this. But when this perishable, right here, this perishable will have put on the imperishable, and this mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that it is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? See, the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Say with me this. Yeah. That's what resurrection sounds like. That's what resurrection sounds like. There's power in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There's power in this place of his victory. Jesus didn't rise, just rise. He won. The resurrection is proof that death, sin, hell, and the grave lost its grip. The resurrection didn't just receive a body or revive a body. It reversed a curse. Death no longer is final. The grave is no longer the end of our story. We've been communicating along that Jesus lived intentionally. He suffered by design, and his victory is rewriting our story over and over again. You know, it's so easy to get into that spot that says something like this: "Man, I suck. I can't seem to change this pattern in my life. I keep doing the same thing over and over and over again." But when we understand the reality of Jesus' victory and we engage not just the trauma of our memory, but we begin to go, okay, I'm going to step into a supernatural reality that Jesus actually died for my sins. And it wasn't just a one-time forgiveness that I've got to go perform some deed or some action to make myself better for a time. And then, like in the Old Testament, they would walk to the temple and they would give their offering for sin. But then when they would leave, they would sin all the way home again. and have to turn around and do it again. See, Jesus died in a place that we have victory in Christ because the power of the Spirit lives inside of you and I. Amen? What once held humanity in fear has now been broken open by the power of Jesus Christ. And Paul says, like we just read in 1 Corinthians 15, oh, death, where is your sting? That's not a question. Oh, death, where is your sting? That's a mockery. Come on. And Jesus said to the grave, really? Is that all you got? Is that all you got? To the grave, Jesus said that. In essence, this is what the resurrection power does. It taunts the very thing that used to terrify us. It taunts the very thing that used to terrify us. You don't have to stay stuck. You don't have to stay a victim. You don't have to stay broken. His victory sets us free. When he overcame, we now get to overcome in him. And sin doesn't get the last word. And death doesn't bury your destiny. This is not just Jesus' victory. This is your victory.
Right.
It's like one of those pivot moments, right? This isn't just Jesus' victory. It's your victory. You get to walk out of the things that once held you. You get to be set free from the things that once terrified you or the things that keep you back. It's Christ's victory. He didn't rise to impress us. He rose to empower us. Imagine death is like being behind a locked prison door. And Jesus shows up and he opens that locked door from the inside, turning the lock from the inside, breaking the chains and opening the door and leaving the door wide open. For that place to never have power over us any longer. There was a time it's been in the last 4 to 5 years, where I felt like I was absolutely buried as well. Not really in a tomb, but buried with question, buried with doubt, buried with fear, buried in spiritual fog, And the question was like this, did I blow it? Lord, do you still want to use me? Am I still capable of doing what you once called me to do? It's like my world flipped upside down and I didn't know where I was going to go and what I was going to do. I was pastoring at a time before this and things just fell apart. And so I went and got a real estate license and started a pool business and I'm kind of done with ministry. And then in some of those moments, really, where I literally would, for several years, I would say I spent a number of hours early in the morning just crying, asking the Lord to restore me, do something with my heart. And I never really began to, deconstruct Christ or try to deconstruct the gospel. But I did really begin to try to deconstruct the church. And leadership styles and what I want to do and don't want to do and that kind of thing. But I sat in this place of brokenness crying out and I hear the Lord whisper to me, I'm not done with you. I'm calling you out. I'm calling you out. I'm calling you into a place of victory. I'm calling you into a place of freedom. Don't let your current moment dictate what God's really doing in big picture. See, your present right now is something, but the decisions you make in your present right now really affect your tomorrow, really affects your future. But he's saying that to you right now. I've given you victory in my son. It's not just to impress, but rather it's to empower. That's what resurrection does. It finds you in the dark, and then it calls you back to life. Is that making sense to you?
Yes, come on.
This wasn't just a cosmic victory. It wasn't just this victory that's broad and outside and beyond us. This was a personal invitation. The resurrection is personal. Consider what Romans chapter 8, verse 11 says. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells inside of you. So if the spirit of him who raised him from the dead dwells in you, then that same spirit's going to bring life to you. So the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead now lives in you. And the resurrection isn't just a moment in history, but it's a power that we carry. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead now lives in you. Say that with me. That power lives in me. That power lives in me. Not a weaker version of it, and not just a memory, but the real power lives inside you. That resurrection power dwells inside of you. That means you no longer are a prisoner of your past. The stone's been rolled away, not just from his tomb, but from your life. The door's open, grave clothes are off, and you're not who you were. Resurrection doesn't just give you new life. It gives you a new way to live, a new mindset, a new freedom, and a new future. And this, like this time of Easter, this is not just a one-time event that we celebrate. This is not just something, although we do and we take advantage of what's happening in the culture and what's going on to an opportunity to celebrate. But this is something that we draw attention to. This is something, a reality that we step into. Today and right now inside this room, it's a reality that we're being invited into. Consider this. When Lazarus was raised from the dead, Jesus said, take off his grave clothes. He didn't just want Lazarus to live, he wanted Lazarus to be free. So the resurrection doesn't just offer breath to us, it offers freedom to us. Consider this story right here. Consider this. In 1890, there was a man who believed in Christ, who gave his heart to Christ and would call himself publicly a Christian, but went through this significant dark time and was struggling significantly. Vincent van Gogh is his name, famous author, artist, painted one of his final works while in a mental institution. He was battling deep depression and emotional, psychological pain, completely isolated from society, and yet he painted the resurrection of Lazarus. Interesting. As you look at that, you see some people standing around him. But if you look at Lazarus and you compare Van Gogh's other paintings of his self-portrait, you'll find that he paints himself as Lazarus. And you don't see Jesus anywhere in this image. The reason why is because he believed Jesus already touched him. He had already received the gospel. He had already believed. But what he was looking for and he was believing for, that Jesus would raise him up. See, he believed in the resurrection. The painting wasn't just art. It was a confession. I believe that Jesus can raise me too. I believe he can raise me up as well. So maybe today, you're like Lazarus, or like Van Gogh even. Stuck in a place of pain, locked in a tomb of silence, fear, or frustration, hopelessness. But friend, I want you to know that Jesus still calls us out of tombs. He still calls us out of brokenness. He still calls us out of graves. He's still raising people from the dead out of our deadness, our brokenness, our painful. We don't have to be stuck in something that keeps us bound. I believe he's calling you. I believe he's calling all of us today. The cross was the payment. The resurrection was the receipt. And the gift is being extended to you today. I have some questions for you. Could you stand with me, would you? I want to ask you a few questions as Maggie just strums a little bit, just for your consideration. Do you want to receive, willing to receive, the victory that Jesus has for you today in any area of your life? Do you need resurrection power in any part of your life, your soul, any relationships, any brokenness in your life? Were you... You're just saying, Doug, I need Christ's power in my life. Or maybe there are certain areas where you just want to step out of the tombs, if you will. Those places in our life that feels where hope is dead, peace is buried, where faith has been flatlined. If you can say yes to any one of these questions, I want to ask you just to respond by either moving forward out of your seat, slipping your hands up. I know for some of us, really, church is something we go to on Easter once a year. At Lifehouse Church, we're a church of spirit and truth. We want to encounter the Spirit of God. And we want to encounter the truth of God. And we don't just want to be religious doing it. But I believe the resurrection has empowered us. It's happened for a purpose. So if you have any needs today at all, things I mentioned or didn't mention, I want to encourage you to respond. Just like these folks here. And if you're here today, and you'd like to receive Jesus for the first time in your life, I'm not going to call you out or embarrass you, but I just want to ask you, you slip your hand up. If there's anybody here right now that says, I just want to accept Christ as my Lord and Savior, that I've never done it before, or I have and I've fallen away, but I want to make it right today. I want to give you that opportunity to find life and find peace. Is there anybody here? So, Father, I ask that you would come. Just bring your presence here today. Bring your Holy Spirit today. We just love you, Lord, and we worship you. Would you stir every one of us today with truth? It's victorious, and it's personal for me, for you. Amen. Let's worship.
All the saints and angels bow before your throne. Before the Lamb of God and sing. Let's sing that again. All the saints and angels bow before your throne. All the sing, you are worthy of it all. from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory.
You are worthy.
You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve glory. Saints and angels bow before your throne. All the elders cast their crowns before the Lamb of God and sing.
Sing it again.
Thank you.